Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Joining us on that hotline is Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good. Does Kevin Lytle know that he's doing my intros now?
Yeah, I called him real quick to do that live, and then we do it. It's weird. It's a tight ship we run here, though. He wanted to do it. You appreciate it?
How are we doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fantastic. I'm better now. I got to see you on Saturday. That was great.
You did. It was a pleasure seeing you again.
Yeah. Well, anytime, my friend. All right, let's go. All right, don't look now, but the CSU Rams basketball team, this men's basketball team, they're on pace to never lose again, Mike. 3-0 to start the season.
Well, of course. That's what we all expected, right?
You know, hey, you got to get them when you can take them when you can get them early. And obviously this team has, you know, going through the Isaiah Stevens injury and everything and just some unknowns. There's some guys that are flat out playing on this team right now. And it's fun to see so far.
Yeah. What you really wanted to see is, you know, guys make that next step and the progression of their playing. And you're seeing that with John Tanjay, who you expected. And you're seeing that with Isaiah Rivera, which you'd hope to see. You're seeing it a lot with Jalen Lake, who's really, if you look at his stat lines, he's just stuffing a sheet right now. It's rebounds, it's assists. You know, he shot really well last night. And then you're getting some contributions from other people, you know, like Tavy Jackson. I think they all were very high on him, and he's played well early as a true freshman. And then it was nice to see Josiah Strong finally get some minutes last night so they could get him back and acclimated to what they hope that he'll become.
What kind of player do you think Josiah Strong is going to be? Because, again, we heard so much about him in the offseason, and then he gets sick. But I know there's a lot of Rams fans that talk really highly of this kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to give them a shooter's touch in the backcourt. Gives them more scoring potential. He can defend. He's experienced, so he should be calm under pressure. And you kind of like to add those things to your roster when you can. And I know it's been frustrating for him. You know, the injury or the illness that he had lingered. It came back a little bit more when he thought he was getting ready to come back to the court. So that delayed it. But, you know, again, it was good. I mean, I know Nico just wanted to get him like 10 to 12 minutes before they took him, you know, on this next road trip.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, going forward, these tournament games are always fun tests for this team, for any team, really. But you get in that tournament environment. But we've got the Shriners Children's Charlton Classic coming up. They'll have, what, South Carolina in that first game?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are good tests. You get to see teams that you don't normally get to see, and they get kind of thrown together. You know, you get an SEC opponent right off the gate in this tournament, and that'll be a great test for them. It will go ahead and give you an example of really maybe how far along that they are at this point, especially when you're talking about a team that's having to play a little bit different, not a little bit, but a lot, different style of basketball, you know, without David Roddy, without Isaiah Stevens in the backcourt to keep things calm. But the guys that are out on the court, they're very confident in the skills that they have. It's basically asking them to do what they can and see how it all mixes without, you know, them being asked to do things that they're not used to or not capable of doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting or fun, I suppose, to just kind of see how this team does progress throughout the course of this season. And like you said, another test coming up. Okay, I started with the positive there. Over the weekend, of course, we saw the border war. Wyoming found a way. They ultimately get to keep the boot. They win 14-13 over Colorado State. Let's stay on the positive, Mike. This defense for Colorado State just continues to put up great numbers, come up with big-time stops. They're just full of guys that flat-out compete every single week.
Yeah, this is a group that's really adapted to what Freddie Banks brought in as a system. You know, playing with the nickel all the time, playing with just two linebackers, being able to acclimate that system to the different style of offenses as you're going to see in the Mountain West. And they've really kind of come together and grown. Now, they had an off week a few weeks ago when they went to Boise. Boise was able to run the ball. They were able to throw the ball. But then they kind of regrouped. They've come back, and they've played better. They deserved a different fate than we got last week from the offense, which failed to score an offensive touchdown, and that's the second time this year.
Yeah, frustrating for sure that, you know, you're feeling good. You see that punt return for a touchdown by Torrey Horton to start things off, and you're thinking, man, this defense continues to play lights out. If you can get just a few plays here and there by this offense, maybe they can pull this one out. But unfortunately, just couldn't get much. And Torrey Horton, man, that guy is a ridiculous athlete. Of course, I know he's probably beating himself up after that muffed punt late in the game. But, man, without him, They're probably not close in this one, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the weird thing is, like, when you talked about they didn't get much out of the offense, they did. They got yards. They just didn't get many points. So you're talking they go 2 of 3 in the red zone. Well, both of them are touchdowns, are field goals instead of touchdowns. And the one miss was the interception into the end zone, and that doesn't help, obviously. So you've got to cut down your turnovers. I thought it was interesting. You know, Jay spoke at his press conference on Monday. Two people have beaten them in Mountain West play this year. That's been Boise, and that's been themselves. And that showed up a lot. That was a game that they could have won. It's a game they should have won. San Jose State, you can say the same thing. Utah State was a game that they played well with. But they've just got to get to the point where they can finish drives and get touchdowns, not field goals.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating because, like you said, I guess where I'm saying, hey, you couldn't get anything from the offense points-wise, but you're right. You look at the yards. Avery Morrow runs for 100 yards, and Torrey Horton runs for almost 170, or catches for, has almost a 170 in receiving yards. When you look at just those two stats alone, you go, okay, surely there were a couple of touchdowns in there, and of course, neither one of them had a receiving or rushing touchdown. And so that's the part, like you said, it's just so frustrating because they're starting to open it up. We're starting to see this offense figure some things out, but still can't ultimately get what's most important and result in points.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what they've faced time after time. Is they've just got to finish drives. They've got to get scores in the red zone, and they've got to be touchdowns. And this is another week where you look at it. Air Force wrote about it. I mean, Freddie Banks is really excited to play defense against this team because it's such a challenge. And if Air Force keeps the ball, you get limited offensive possessions, and Jay Norvell knows that as well. So they're looking for that successful formula that, A, the offense doesn't get shorted on their possessions, but B, that they've got to cap them because it's going to be important. Because Air Force is a team. I mean, they lead the nation in time of possession. They're the only team in the country that averages more than 300 yards a game rushing. But they can be beat. Wyoming held them to less than 200. So did Boise State. Utah State held them to about 240, 250, and won a shootout. Everybody else that they've played outside of the academies who also play that style of offense, they rushed for 400 yards against, and you can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, big one coming up. Still a rivalry game, a trophy game coming up this weekend for Colorado State. So, you know, still two games left, a great chance to try to finish on a real positive note in the month of November and set yourself up for, you know, something positive going forward. Mike, always appreciate you, man. What else can we check out from you at CSURams.com?
You know, I thought it was interesting that Jay put six players on scholarship, and one of the more curious guys for me has been Keegan Hamilton starting at center as a true freshman walk-on. So I got to chat with him today. Really nice kid. So we're going to try and tell his story tomorrow. Today, we talked about the challenge of the defense, having to face that Air Force offense and what they've been able to do because, yeah, they run the ball, but Colorado State has also been victimized by the pass against Air Force. They've thrown, they've got a touchdown pass in each of the last 4 years. They threw five combined the last 2 years, and that includes the longest play in Kansas Stadium history last year of 92 yards. So it's the thing of not getting lulled to sleep with their constant run and then them beating you over the top.
Mike, looking forward to no flea flickers, okay? Like Tennessee, just tell Air Force no flea flickers. Don't want to see that anymore.
But a lot of times they don't do that. It's not even flea flicker stuff that they've beaten CSU with. It's they lull them to sleep with the run, and then it's nice play action to where they sneak, you know, a tight end, or they sneak, you know, a wide receiver who's normally blocking on a play, and the next thing you know, they're beating them over the top.
Yeah. Well, again, can't fall asleep, and that's, you know, like I said, that's what the Broncos did against the Titans with the flea flicker. I just don't want to see it anymore, Mike. It made me very sad. I don't want to see it at all. Let's get rid of it. Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
No, I was just saying, like, I don't think Air Force does a lot of flea flickers, but, Angel, I'm okay if I never see one from an opposing team ever again.
But it's fun.
If it's, like, not your team that's going – if Justin Simmons is in there – do you think that they get that done? I don't think so. He's too smart of a safety. That was his, that was PJ Locke's spot. So I.
Hard to tell.
Flea flicker. That's how good this defense is. It takes outside, you know, off the wall stuff, and yet this offense is so frustrating. 12:50 the time. Is Russell Wilson bad for business? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.